Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 19, text 12. Is that right up there? Okay, start at 11. Okay, so I'll chant this on my own, and then we'll chant the next one together, since that's the one we'll be talking about. Sitaniketam parimrsya sunyam. It's like Simon says, you know, Simon says. Now I'm going to chant this one myself, and then we'll chant the next one together. Okay? Sitaniketam parimrsya sunyam apashyamana kupito nanada shmam dyam dishakam vivaram sumudran vishnum vichinvanna dadarsha vira. Translation. Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakasipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakasipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, and all directions, and all the caves and oceans. But Hiranyakasipu, the greatest hero, did not see Vishnu everywhere. And this one we'll chant together. Apasyan iti hovacha mayan vishtam idam jagat pratrirha megato nunam yato navartate puman. Apasyan iti hovacha mayan vishtam idam jagat pratrir ha megato nunam yato navartate puman. Apasyaniti hovacha mayan vishtamidam jagat pratrir ha megato nunam yato navartate puman. Apasyaniti hovacha mayan vishtanidam jagat bhadriha megato nunam yato navartate bhuman. Mayan vishtanidam jagat. Mm-hmm. Vaishnavis. Upashaniti ho vacha. Mayanidam vidam vijagat. Pratyuhame gato nunam. Pasyan, not seeing him. Iti, in this way. Ha uvacha, uttered. Maya, by me. Anbishtam, has been sought. Idam, the whole. Jagat, universe. Bhartriha, Lord Vishnu, who killed the brother. May, my. Gataha, must have gone. Nunam, indeed. Yataha, from where? Na, not. Avartate, comes back. Puman, a person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Unable to see him, Hiranyakasipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. Parentheses. In other words, he must now be dead. Purport. Atheists generally follow the Bodha philosophical conclusion that at death everything is finished. Hiranyakasipu, being an atheist, thought this way. Because Lord Vishnu was not visible to him, he thought the Lord was dead. Even today, many people follow the philosophy that God is dead. But God is never dead. Even the living entity, who is part of God, never dies. Najayate mriyate va kadachit. For the soul, there is never birth or death. This is the statement of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 20. Even the ordinary living entity never takes birth or dies. What then is to be said of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the chief of all living entities? He certainly never takes birth or dies. Ajopi san aviyatma. That's Bhagavad Gita 4:6. Both the Lord and the living entity exist as unborn and inexhaustible personalities. Thus, Hiranyakasipu's conclusion that Vishnu was dead was wrong. As indicated by the words Yato Navartate Puman, there is certainly a spiritual kingdom, and if the living entity goes there, he never returns to this material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9. Tyak Vadeham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti Sojana. Materially speaking, every living entity dies, death is inevitable, but those who are karmis, gyanis, and yogis return to this material world after death, whereas bhaktas do not. Of course, if a bhakta is not completely perfect, he takes birth in the material world again, but in a very exalted position, either in a rich family or a family of the purest brahmanas. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe. Just to finish his development in spiritual consciousness. Those who have completed the course of Krishna consciousness and are free from material desire return to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yadgat vananavartante tadama paramam mama. Here the same fact is stated. Yato navartate puman. Any person who goes back home, back to Godhead, does not return to this material world. Om magina timananda shajan jana shalakaya chakshurana militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam vidati swaparantikam. So this verse is in this purport, for sure, Prabhupada's talking about going back to Godhead. So just very quickly, by a show of hands, how many devotees here are interested in going back to Godhead? Okay, quite a few. So I guess we should probably say something about that. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 55, Krishna says, Bhakjimam abhijanati yavanyas chatmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishate taranantaram. And the translation for that is, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So here we're hearing a statement by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, how you go back to Godhead. He specifically says here, it's only by devotional service. And he says, gives us some information of what the quality of that devotional service it has to be. It has to be performed in full consciousness of Krishna. And that's what he mentions there. And that, if you perform devotional service in full consciousness of Krishna, that's the primary qualification for being able to go back home, back to Godhead. And that's an important thing, because we're all engaged in devotional service, but it's an important thing for us to make note of, that he does mention in full consciousness. It's not enough to just have our body in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Our mind has to be there too. We have to be in the right place. We do have to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. But in addition to that, we should have our mind somehow or another, or have a program for having our mind fully conscious of Krishna. And there's so many different ways to do that, of course, but that's what has to happen. So then Krishna goes on to say, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. And, so the basic idea is that devotees can be engaged in a variety of activities. It's not that there's one particular thing that you have to do. I mean, there is, like, we all chant Hare Krishna mantra, you know, et cetera, on beads. But throughout the course of the day, we might be engaged in so many, not might, we are engaged in so many activities. Somebody's managing a restaurant, somebody's, you know, managing the BBT, somebody's selling books, somebody's this, that, the other thing, you see. It's okay. It's okay. We just, as long as we're doing it under the direction of a higher authority and trying to do it in full consciousness of Krishna, then that works. You know, that pleases Krishna. By being engaged like that, you're under Krishna's protection. That's what it means to be under Krishna's protection, that you're performing an activity which is authorized by your spiritual authority and attempting to do it in a full Krishna consciousness. Okay? Then Krishna elaborates upon that in the next verse. He says, Chaitasa sarvakarmani mayi sanyasya matparaha buddhiyogam upashrita machchita satatam bhava. That he goes, in all activities just depend upon me and act fully under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. One of Amala Bhakta Prabhu's favorites. I noticed him lighting up there, as I mentioned. So further information is being given here. Krishna's elaborating more how you have to, you know, have that mood of depend on Krishna. Depend on Krishna means, once again, just... And it can mean a few different things, but at a most basic level, following the instructions of the higher authority. You know, you're not acting independent. You know, so sometimes Prabhupada used the word dependent and independent in the way he learned it, with, you know, the meaning he learned from, in India, a British-dominated India in the early 1900s. And so generally, when he used dependent, it was in opposition to the word independent. Independent means free to do anything. Independent means the opposite. Under control, you see? So we have a slightly different, you know, connotation. But so anyway, that's another important point, that you act, once again, according to authorized direction. And once again, Krishna repeats that same instruction, being fully conscious of me. You have to be fully conscious of Krishna. Now in the next verse, machchita sarva durgani matprasada tarishyati atacha twamimam He says, if you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. So I like that phrase. I mean, that's a very, for me, that one is that's something I think about a lot. I even made a positive affirmation out of it. Sometimes I just, when I'm you know, walking around or something, I'll just remind myself, if I become conscious of Krishna, I'll pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by His grace. You know, it's nice because it's stating what you have to do, and it's stating the benefit. What we have to do is become fully conscious of Krishna, and the benefit is you pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by Krishna's grace. And I don't know about anybody else, but that's attractive to me. That sounds attractive to me. I like the idea of passing over all the obstacles of conditioned life by Krishna's grace or any other way. But of course, there is only one way, and that's by Krishna's grace. And we don't have to. We've heard so many times what those different obstacles are, and they're numerous. Adiyatma, Gadibodha, Gadidaivik, Kam, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mata, Matsarya, etc. The list goes on. There's a lot of different obstacles, a lot of different things that cause problems and makes life difficult for us here in this material world. But it's mentioned here, if you become conscious of Krishna, you pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by His grace. But then he goes on to say, if, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. And he elaborates upon that in the next two verses. So, you know, the important thing to understand here is this, that it's not like Krishna is just saying, well, you know, if you do this, that'll be nice, and this is the benefit. And if you don't, that's okay. There's no consequence. It's just life goes on merrily, you know, just life goes on anyway. No, it's not like that. It's really kind of like polarizing. And there's like this, Krishna's making it clear, if you do this, here's the benefit. If you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. Okay, that's the good part. That's the good news. But there's also bad news. The bad news is, if you don't act in such consciousness, as Krishna says, but if you don't act in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Okay, so, you know, and that means you're going to act in illusion, you'll stay here in the cycle of birth and death, etc., etc. And he elaborates upon that in the next two verses. He says, if you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you'll be falsely directed by your nature. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. So that's coming up here, and that's a theme that's kind of been repeated throughout the Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, we have to, if we're not voluntarily willing to engage in devotional service, then there's no like neutral zone. There's no place where you can just say, well, I don't want to engage in devotional service, but I don't want to be in Maya. I'll just kind of stay in the neutral thing here. It doesn't work like that. Either you have to make a decision that I'm going to be engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, you can understand that you're going to be swept away by the modes of material nature. There's that verse, third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakrit karyatehi vasha karma sarva prakriti jagana. That all men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the three modes of material nature. No one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. And Prabhupada says in the purport to that, he says, unless one is engaged and the good works of Krishna consciousness, absolutely 100% guarantee that you're going to be engaged or directed, falsely directed, and engaged in activities dictated by the illusory energy. So it's one or the other. It's one or the other. You know, we can voluntarily decide to engage in devotional service, or we should understand that we're going to be engaged in activities dictated by the illusory energy. And as Prabhupada puts it here in this purport, we'll be oh, here it is, yeah. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool in the ocean of birth and death. You say, so everybody knows how a whirlpool works. You just kind of like, you get caught in the whirlpool and down you go. So that's what's happening if we don't, you know, as he points out, if we're not active in Krishna consciousness. So then that raises the question, well, you know, Arjuna's there. Krishna's right there with Arjuna. It's easy for Arjuna, you know, to act according to the direction of Krishna. You know, Krishna says, if you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, because he's right there. Krishna's right there. He can get the direction from Krishna. So that raises the question, Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna, but when Krishna is not present, how should one act? Does that question sound familiar to anybody? It's actually right out of the purport to 1857 here. Prabhupada says, now one may argue that Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna, but when Krishna is not present, how should one act? So that's an important question. Because, you know, we should want to know, how do we act? Krishna's not, we're not in a situation where we can get personal direction from Krishna. So here's the answer. Prabhupada says, if one acts according to the direction of Krishna in this book, okay, that's one point, as well as under the guidance of the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same. So that's a really important thing for everybody to, you know, for us to meditate on, or at least, you know, to understand clearly. Two things we have to do. We have to act according to the direction of Krishna in this, in the Bhagavad Gita, which means we got to read it. We got to study it. We got to know what that direction is. You know, there's a lot of important instructions here in the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, the most important one is man mana bhava mad bhakto ma jaji mam namaskaru mami vaishyasi sacham te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, you know, offer your obeisances to me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. That's the most important instruction of all the instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, that's the most important instruction in all the Vedic literature. Prabhupada says that just the verse in the purport to the verse before that. What Krishna is saying here is the most important instruction in all the Vedic literature. Manmana, always think of me. And it should be carried out not just by Arjuna, but by every person. He says, he refers to it as the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. See? So that's very important. And there's so many other important instructions throughout the Bhagavad Gita. What's another one that just like comes to my mind? Tani savani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasya andaryani tasya pragya pratishtita. That a person who withdraws his senses from the objects and fixes his consciousness upon me alone is known as a person of steady intelligence. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita is full of important instructions. And that's just off the top of my head, but that's also really, Prabhupada refers to that in the purport as a very important verse, you know. Withdraw the mind and the senses from their objects and try to concentrate it on Krishna. That's a person of steady intelligence. So we have to read the Bhagavad Gita so we know it, you know, how to act according to the direction of the Bhagavad Gita and act under the guidance of the representative of Krishna. And then he says the result will be the same. As if you know, Krishna was here personally directing you, personally telling you what to do. Those two things. And further on down here, in the purport, Prabhupada says, one should act according to the order of Krishna. Same point again. We have to act according to the order of the direction of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through the disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. See, so that last sentence is that's a doozy, so to speak. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So that's really all we need to know, you know, because that's all we're interested in, right? What else, what are we interested in other than perfection of life and Krishna consciousness? Is anybody here interested in anything other than perfection of life and Krishna consciousness in a serious way? No, that's all we're interested in. That's why we're here. We're here because we're interested in perfection of life and Krishna consciousness. That what that means is, anybody want to have a guess? What does that mean? What does it mean to achieve or attain perfection of life in Krishna consciousness? Exactly. Bang! Give this man a cigar. Or no, we don't smoke, sorry. Give this man something he wants. A maha milk sweet. Yeah, that's exactly what it means here. There's that, you know, in the purport of chapter 4, text 10, Prabhupada quotes at verse by Rupa Goswami about the process of devotional service, ado shradatato sadhu sangha tata bhajana kriya, like that. And it ends in tata premad yudanchite sadakam ayam premna pradubhavi bhavet krama, which is that it says here that the taste, I'm just skipping here, this taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendent love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. See, so that's the highest perfectional stage of life is prema, to achieve this pure love for God. So according to what Prabhupada says here, if we just act according to the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness, and those are achieving, being elevated to the stage of prema, is guaranteed. Guaranteed. So that's it's a pretty good deal. So we should remember that and try to do that. Can somebody see the time? 10 after. Okay. That was just like the preface to the class, actually. But that's okay. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah, Amala Bhakti Prabhu. Thank you.
The question I have, you've mentioned the term a bona fide spiritual master at least 3 or 4 times in the course of your speaking, which leads to the highest advancement of Krishna consciousness, assuming that we follow his instructions. So could you please define for all of us what you mean by a bona fide as opposed to a non-bona fide spiritual master?
Okay.
So that everyone here would know the difference.
Okay. Well,
according to Bhagavatam.
According to Bhagavatam, yeah. I don't know the whole verse, but there's a verse in, I think it's the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where the two most important qualifications of a bona fide spiritual master clearly stated, Shrotriyam and Brahmanishtam, which means that he's heard from a bona fide spiritual master, and Brahmanishtam, that is, he's acting free from sense gratification. He's fixed in Brahman, you see. So that's philosophically, from what I can understand, the two most important qualifications of bona fide spiritual master. And to make it practical and simple for devotees, you know, because you might think, well, how do I know if somebody's there within ISKCON, for instance, there's certain people have been approved to perform that service. So that's, you know, if you're considering who's a bona fide spiritual master, who's not, the first thing I would do if I was in that situation, I would looking for bona fide spiritual master, I want to know who is approved by the, you know, society, by the governing body commission and like that. And then, of course, because that saves you the trouble of having to figure out, is he Shrotriyam? Is he Brahmanishtam? They've already done that. Before somebody is appointed or given that service of being a bona fide spiritual master, they've been checked out, you know, especially these days. ISKCON is tightening up and is getting much more, strict about who they allow to be a spiritual master, who they allow to be a sannyasi, who they allow to be anything. And, you know, it's very careful these days. Amala Bhakti knows he's on the, you know, he's a sannyasi list there. So, you know, yeah, Hari Bol. And so, I would say that if somebody's been approved by ISKCON in this point in time to be a spiritual master or a sannyasi or a temple, they have the qualification. They've been checked out. So you don't have to, you know, you can rest assured that's happened. And then you just pick somebody who you feel like you are very inspired by and, you know, want to take shelter of. Did that answer your question? Did you have something you want to add to that?
Should I?
Go ahead.
Yeah, bona fide, according to Bhagavatam, there's another quote, a bona fide spiritual master is one who has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and argument, and is able to convince others of the same conclusions. Also, Rupa Goswami, he says that a sober person who can control the urge to speak, the mind's demands, and the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. There's another one, but I think those two are.
But can you give us the Sanskrit?
I don't know the Sanskrit.
Okay. We'll let you go.
Right, so that doesn't work?
No, just keep going. It works. Did you want to say more or is that? Is that it? Is that?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I mean, there's others, I think those two are preponderant. One is from the Bhagavatam, and the other is from Rupa Goswami, who extracted it, I believe, from Bhagavatam and other Vedic Puranic texts.
Yeah, thank you. That was a good addition. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.